Okay. This is Uriah Fine. I'm here with the Trying to Follow podcast, and today we are interviewing Adriel, well, otherwise known as La Bodega to the internet world, Adriel Lambert. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a current resident of Nashville, Tennessee. I am a part of creating a community of faith called Mosaic in Nashville. And I'm originally from Indianapolis area of Indiana, a little town called Mooresville. Yeah. So, went to college at Taylor University, graduated with a BA in Biblical Studies. So, nice. A very lucrative major.
Yeah, so you're the token Bible scholar at this Mosaic community.
That's what they tell me. Yeah. No, I'm not the token. Okay. But I am the academic, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I don't even consider myself that, so.
Well, you did, just a couple Sundays ago, brief us a little bit on the story of Esther.
I did.
And a little Bible history for folks. Found it very interesting and engaging, for sure.
It's fun for me to do that. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's good, and it gives people a little bit of background that they don't usually get in a church setting. So, one thing that sets you apart from me is that I have no interest, except for getting coffee for Mindy, I have no interest in coffee myself, but you, since a young age, have been a coffee fanatic.
I have.
Tell me about that.
I think I probably started drinking coffee around the age of 10 when my dad let me, and it's kind of been this love affair of sorts ever since. It's just something I'm very passionate about and process from plant to cup, and just all that involved is very scientific and it's very artistic all at the same time. It's definitely an artisan trade, if you will. So I've been working in coffee for about 2.5 years so far.
Cool.
And so that's what you do if you are a biblical studies major, because the coffee shops will hire you.
So
you need to go where you're hired at.
Nice.
It's a good thing for me that I love coffee, and so it's not just a job for me.
Yeah,
it's sort of a career path.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So you weren't like a jump on the coffee popularity bandwagon?
No, it was birthed in me at a young age.
Okay.
So if anything, I think I've done my part to kind of pull people in the direction of specialty coffee. And
you were one of the early adopters.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the cool trendsetters. So if I had known you then, maybe I would have become a coffee drinker.
Maybe. But, you know.
You met me at my rebellious stage.
It depends on your taste buds, too.
Yeah. Now, I've heard coffee stunts your growth at the age of 10. Do you think, I mean,
I'm 5'3". However, I don't think that's due to coffee at all. My brother is 5'8". He is the tallest in my family.
Uh-huh.
I think my dad runs a close 5'7".
Okay.
And I believe my mother is 5'1.5".
Cool.
And so.
Okay. So it wasn't necessarily just the coffee. I knew some of our listeners who know you might want to address that.
And so. I'm not sure if that's a myth or not. I kind of lean thinking that it is just a myth.
Uh-huh. So. The whole coffee stunting your growth thing?
I'm not sure where the scientific evidence is for that. Okay. But.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to, I mean, since you're a big fan of coffee, with your first child, you could start bottling, feeding them coffee, and we'll see if they remain all of 18 or 20 inches, you know.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I feel like if I did that, someone would be after me.
Yeah.
Someone would be wanting to lock me up for experimenting with my children. But
yeah.
I guess all parenting is a little bit experiential.
It's probably very experiential and experimental.
Experimental.
Yes, there you go. So, okay, so coffee is more than just your job and pays the bills. You have a definite interest in it.
I do.
Well, tell me a little bit, because I think the cool thing that from what I've learned about coffee is the fair trade side of things, and just knowing about that. And Bongo Java seems to do a really good job of that. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Fair trade is a great, great thing. I guess you can't really distinguish, or I don't know if it's wrong to distinguish between fair trade and true fair trade. There's some people who do it better than others. And Bongo Java is one place that does that really well. Cooperative Coffees is the co-op they're a part of. And they have a direct relationship with their coffee farmers, whereas you can get fair trade products and fair trade coffee beans without having a direct relationship. And so the owner of Bongo Java has taken trips to different places and gotten to know some coffee farmers, and also the whole Cooperative Coffees organization is able to do that, and so we maintain business with them, and it's basically contracted, and so they are constantly supported by the coffee that we buy from them, which Bongo Java actually buys at higher than fair trade prices, which is a great way to just allow people to live, not simply survive, but to actually live. So it's, I feel good about working there and being able to do that. And I did my stint at the Big Green Monster, and so I kind of know how things work there. You know, it's nice working for the local business. It really is. And it's a joy to do it and to serve your community like that and also serve the world.
Yeah, no, it totally is. I think I'll put a link on the blog about the fair trade label, you know, like the big fair trade, which I think Starbucks carries. Is that right?
You know, I haven't investigated much onto what they're doing. I've read a little bit about it.
Just I'm becoming weary of the popularity of fair trade labels and stuff. And so knowing about local, you know, like locally owned and co-op, you know, cooperative type groups is something that I think is really neat and something we should support. So, yeah, so Nashville folks, Bongo Java is the place to be. I think Portland Brew has done a decent, we'll have to interview Brian for that
one. You have to interview Brian for that one.
Decent fair trade.
Yeah, because I'm not even sure, I didn't even know they were fair trade if they are. So that's something that I could also look into.
Okay, so even bigger than just your local job, in the future you still want to work with coffee. So you've cast some visions of what you think you might want to do. What is that exactly?
Recently I've been given a lot of thought to creating my own business involving coffee. And what does that look like? And I've been reading a lot via your blog and through that searching other places and finding out just some things about just economics and what does it look like to run a just business. And so my vision that's kind of developing is this cafe slash grocery market slash clothing outlet.
All in one place. Bookstore we added to
slash
that.
But having all the coffee be certified organic and fair trade, and having the as many grocery items as possible, if not all, be fair trade, and also certified organic, and the clothing being sweatshop free clothing that we would kind of vend. And the idea behind all of that is education, is that people come and they have kind of, they'll come for the coffee, which is my guess, because that's something that people want. That's something that, you know, some people are addicted to. So you come into the shop to something that you want and something that you love, and you end up being educated on a whole lot more and offered a wider variety of products that support people in other countries who are making these profits, and right here in the United States who are making them. So you're asking people to vote not with their dollar necessarily, well, with their dollar, but they don't look for the cheapest thing, but they look for the thing that is produced in the most ethical way and buying based on that, which is kind of helping or trying to turn the tide of just what we've been doing here in America and buying things because it's cheap. And that's really the American way. And that's not American bashing, but it's recognizing that I have this belief system, and so I need to do what's good out of that, and what is good, and how do I do that, and this would be an outlet for me to do that, and also educate people and kind of get them to come along board and alongside me and work on this.
I think, I mean, and I think it's not foreign to even people in the United States of being careful where we spend our dollar. Like, we all are, we are very much about the bottom line, you know. At the same time, like, you know, post 9/11, you have all these things about, like, oh, don't support this organization or that thing because, you know, or that oil, and you got these forwards going around about they support terrorists and stuff like that. So when there's something that's important to us, you know, usually if we're aware of it, you know, like, we've understood the idea of supporting things that are ethical. So I don't think it's too far of a stretch to think that that it's a feasible
opportunity. I would hope not. I would hope that if there was such a place that already existed, that I would frequent it, that I would be a regular, and I would be supporting it, so.
Yeah, and at the same time, there is going to be that jump of, you know, like, if it costs more, you know, and I think that's kind of a false idea that, like, it always has to cost more for fair trade stuff. At the same time, I don't know. Yeah. More on that later.
Yeah.
But, so how far down the road, do you think this is for you?
Well, I really don't know. It's kind of an idea that's up in dream world right now and got to fix and put bones and skin on it and, and see where it goes. I know nothing about starting a business, so I've been reading about that. And so I think right now I'm basically in the research stage. So if anything happens, it'll be at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I think, before I can collect everything together. And also, I could be wrong. Maybe time will move faster.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just stumble across some inspiration and really get going hard on it.
But this entrepreneurship and own business is in your blood, right?
Yeah, it is a little bit in my blood. My grandfather's a businessman, created his own business, manufacturing scaffolding.
Okay.
And patenting some locks for those systems. And he's basically an inventor slash entrepreneur.
Nice.
And so my father's also owner of his own business. He insulates houses.
Okay.
So, which is really good for him at this time of year.
Yeah.
People are cold.
Definitely.
But yeah, this kind of runs in my lines from both sides of my family. It's my mother's father, who's the inventor, and it's my dad, who has created his own business. So I have a lot to not necessarily fall back on, but go to for information.
Which
is good. And support.
And support. Because you said your grandfather was asking about, you know, like, so when are you...
Right, when are you going to start this? When are you going to do your thing? And cool. So we'll see. He wants me to, and he's behind me, so that's very good.
Yeah. That's definitely the kind of thing I'm interested in. I realize that's not the case for everybody, that they kind of have this, like, oh, it'd be cool to start my own business. That some people just, you know, have no desire to do that whatsoever. So
I think some people are okay working for other people.
Yeah.
And some people really just need to work for themselves.
Yeah.
And I think I might fall under that category of people who really just want to do their own thing.
Yeah. Cool. Well, also to look forward to in your blogging world is you're venturing into podcasting, we hope.
Yeah.
This being your, well, not your intro, but sort of. You'll have a debut, and I'll be sure to link to that. And that's about it, I guess.
Well, hopefully I can be a consistent podcaster and get good at it and interview some good people.
Yeah. I think the great thing about, like, even having this opportunity is to talk to people, you know, just your average person with a great story, you know, behind it.
You find out they're not so average.
Yeah.
Or the average has a different meaning than you once thought that it did.
Yeah, sure. Nobody's quite normal, you know, when it comes down to it.
Like our friend Peter Amigo.
Yeah.
Who comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, so tell the Peter connection. You didn't know Peter.
No, I went to college with Peter, and we were in the same major. I believe he's 2 years younger than I am. 1 or 2 years younger than I am. And so I never met him, because in college you generally tend to know the people older than you and not the new people that come in.
Uh-huh.
And I went to do an internship in Los Angeles at Mosaic, at a church out there. And Peter was also in the internship. And so I met him, and it was just so weird, because, like, you went to Taylor? Yeah, I went to Taylor. What'd you major in? Biblical studies. Oh, me too. How do I not know you? And so it's been fun to follow Peter's little journey in China right now and into South Africa and see his dreams develop. And
Yeah. And he's got a connection with you and myself and Josh Shanklin. And it'll be neat to see. I interviewed him earlier, and he wants to raise $1 million, you know, to address kind of the AIDS crisis in Africa, and specifically some organizations there. So it'll be neat to see what role we can play here in Nashville, at Mosaic even, to help make that happen. So, exciting stuff. Any closing thoughts?
Okay. I don't have any. Buy fair trade.
All right. This is the Trying to Follow podcast.
You can find new writings at adria.boxtravelist.com. You can find old writings now at labodega.wordpress.com.
And both of those links will be on the Trying to Follow website, blog.iamnotashamed.net. All right, this is the Trying to Follow podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. Have a good day.